From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Now, another in our series of interviews with candidates for the Democratic presidential nomination. Today, General Wesley Clark, former Supreme Allied Commander Europe, that means the top officer in NATO. He's seeking elective office for the first time. And today, before making a speech in South Carolina on Iraq policy, General Clark spoke to us from New York City. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Robert.
You say that we should internationalize the face of the occupation of Iraq. I wonder, if you're elected, do you assume that by the end of a four-year term, there would still be tens of thousands of U.S. troops in Iraq?
I would be surprised if that were the case. Right now, I see no reason for this. If we follow the right strategy and we bring our allies in and we give the Iraqi people back their control of their own country, I see no reason to anticipate a long-term commitment of tens of thousands of U.S. soldiers in the region.
Do you think the Iraqis are ready to take over the civil and also the military control of their own country?
No, not immediately. But what they are ready to do is they've already elected in some 50 different localities councils. These elections have been democratic. We should bring representatives of these councils together. We should augment the current Iraqi governing council and give them as much authorities in the areas of finance, trade policy, domestic law, and so forth as they're able to take while they work simultaneously on a constitution.
But the most immediate problem for the Iraqis seems to be that those who take part in the work of trying to bring a new government to the country risk being shot, bombed, kidnapped. And the first priority seems to be security. As a military man, what would you be doing right now to stop the bombings and the attacks on U.S. And other Iraqis?
I think you have to not only go after the security directly, but you have to take away the motivation to go after the Iraqi people themselves. And that means you want to take away the U.S. face of the occupation at the political level. So I want to emphasize that this is not just politics. This is also a matter of security. Now, with respect to the military itself, there's no substitute for U.S. military leadership right now, except we should be exercising that leadership through NATO. We should ask NATO to come in, take a leadership role on the ground. We should be then changing the composition of the force. As quickly as we can stand up Iraqi forces that can do the job, they should be performing all of the routine security operations and stability operations. For example, they should be guarding the fixed facilities. They should be securing their borders. What U.S. forces should increasingly be doing is they should be the intelligence-driven strike force that goes directly after these foreign terrorists who have infiltrated, or the hardline insurgents who simply won't lay down their arms. But more and more, this should be an Iraqi national concern.
I'd like to ask you about some other issues in the presidential race. Yesterday, President Bush signed the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act. He signed that bill into law. If you were in the White House and you'd been sent the same legislation, would you have signed it into law?
No, I would have vetoed it. I don't believe you can take legislation and get between a woman and her doctor. You know, that legislation is not good medicine. That legislation is just ideology. And I don't believe in legislation for ideology.
I'd like to ask you about leadership and religion. I wonder how you regard religion as an element of national leadership, whether as president you would invoke prayer or God as something that you would appeal to the American people with. And what's your take on this?
Well, I believe in the separation of church and state. That's the principle on which the country was founded. People came to this country for religious freedom. Personally, I am religious. My father was Jewish, but I wasn't brought up in the Jewish faith. I was brought up as a Baptist. I went through West Point. I went to Oxford. I became a Catholic. My wife and I are still Catholics. We usually go to the Presbyterian Church. We like the spiritual lift that the Presbyterian Church services give us. We really appreciate there in Little Rock. For me, spiritual life is very important, and I think it is for most Americans. But I don't think the government should be in the business of promoting it. I think that's in the sphere of the individual. And I think when you mix church and state, you end up with a combination. You just don't know where it might lead.
Just one last question. Today, Governor Dean, one of your opponents for the nomination, got a big labor endorsement. Labor unions are sort of outside your experience, having spent a career in the military, seeking the nomination of a party closely identified with the labor movement. What do you say to unionized workers? How do you understand your relationship to them or your role in labor management disputes? How do you relate to labor?
I've got a very good relationship with labor and with workers and unions. Let me give you an example. I went through a maintenance facility for American Airlines out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I know a lot about maintenance, done a lot of it in the military. I know exactly what I'm looking for when I go through one of these facilities. And I saw some people over in a break area, and they were going over some papers. I asked the man who was walking me around, who was not in the union, I said, what are they doing over there? He says, process action team, they're taking cost out of the operation. I said, well, that's good. I said, do they get anything? Do they get recognition for that? Do they get like a bonus or something on what they get? He says, well, of course not. It's their job to do this. So I went back. I talked to the people in the union. They said, we're the union that gave up $1.8 billion so American Airlines wouldn't go bankrupt. Our members took a 17.5% pay cut. And you know what American Airlines did? They gave bonuses to their top executives. Now, I think that's wrong. And in the United States Armed Forces, we've got a much keener sense of fair play and what's right and wrong than that. We respect and treat with dignity every single soldier in the United States Armed Forces. And as a four-star general, I made 10 or 12 times what a recruit made, not 400 or 4,000 times. So I've got a lot of sympathy for people who work in America. It's what I believe in. And so I'm very strong on the labor movement.
Well, General Clark, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
General Wesley Clark, who spoke to us from Queens, New York.